ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 8 చాప్టర్ 5 టెక్స్ట్ 46 అండ్ 47. సో విల్ రిసైట్ టెక్స్ట్ 47. క్లేశ భూరి క్లేశభూరి అల్పసారాణి కర్మాణి విఫలాని వా దేహినాం విశ్వ ఆర్తానాం నా తథైవార్పితం త్వయి. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పర్ట్ బై శిల ప్రభుపాద్. కర్మీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్వేస్ యాంక్షియస్ టు అకుములేట్ వెల్త్ ఫర్ దేర్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్, బట్ ఫర్ దాట్ పర్పస్ దే మస్ట్ వర్క్ వెరీ హార్డ్. యట్ ఈవెన్ దో దే వర్క్ హార్డ్, ద రిజల్ట్స్ ఆర్ నాట్ సాటిస్ఫైయింగ్. ఇన్ డీడ్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ దే వర్క్ రిజల్ట్స్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ ఫ్రస్ట్రేషన్. But the devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial result without working very hard. These results exceed the devotees' expectations. Purport. We can practically see how the devotees who have dedicated their lives for the service of the Lord in the Krishna consciousness movement are getting immense opportunities for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without working very hard. The Krishna consciousness movement actually started with only 40 rupees, but now it has more than 40 crores worth of property, and all this opulence has been achieved within 8 or 10 years. No karmi can expect to improve his business so swiftly, and besides that, whatever a karmi acquires is temporary and sometimes frustrating. In Krishna consciousness, however, everything is encouraging and improving. The Krishna consciousness movement is not very popular with the karmis because this movement recommends that one refrain from illicit sex, meat eating, gambling and intoxication. These are restrictions that karmis very much dislike. Nonetheless, in the presence of so many enemies, this movement is progressing, going forward without impediment. If the devotees continue to spread this movement, dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it. The movement will go forward without limits. Chant Hare Krishna. I mean, this is what Prabhupada writes. I haven't added it. So, we'll discuss this verse briefly and then we'll discuss text 46. And later we'll be covering some past tense of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Krishna. I seek the blessings of all the devotees. So Prabhupada makes very interesting points here. And actually the demigods, the context here is they are praying to the Supreme Lord. So suddenly in the previous verse they are discussing incarnations, glorifying Lord, want to see Him. And suddenly they jump here to discuss about what karmis do and what non-devotees do. So it's very interesting that we find that people who work hard in this material world to gain success, Prabhupada says either they fail or even if they get success, they become frustrated. So we can see in our lives, like we see so many rich people, they are earning so much big money, much more than even many nations can earn. But we find that they are working sometimes like 20, 21 hours a day, hardly getting any sleep, or even if to sleep they have to take some sleeping pills. Personal life is totally in shambles, like no family relations, kids are having, they don't have time of their parents. Even in a later survey it was said that on an average, working couple in India is able to give just maximum couple of hours per day to kids. And it's not that if the weekend is free, they are able to give time, because weekend is spent in taking care of household things, buying grocery and other things, and even weekend they are not able to give time. So people may have money but they don't have life to enjoy. And also great endeavors are made by a materialist to get things, but they end up in a very frustrating attempt. Like yesterday we were discussing how India spent something like 500 crores to send a lunar probe. So Shyamananda Prabhu was telling what this probe did. It was supposed to have life of 2 years, but flopped, fell down in 6 months only. And the same moon is there, the same land is there, and the same pictures are there. Only thing is, man was supposed to be there, but he's still here. It's not there. And after a few years, the same moon will be there, same land will be there, same pictures will be there. But we will not be neither here nor there, somewhere else. So what is the purpose spending so much money? And India is a poor country, and we are talking about other nations like America sending big, big ships up to the space, and many times when they return, there are big collapses. Like we remember one Indian lady, she was sent to in a space shuttle, and there was a very big media propaganda. And when they were coming down, the shuttle blasted. And it is said that the reason for that was a very small layer of coating had come out. And that small layer of coating which came out, that led to the entire outer layer being burnt out because of friction. And the entire space shuttle was reduced to ashes, just in 2 minutes. So man does so many things for improving his sense gratification. And Prabhupada says that cities are basically built for that. And so much endeavor is spent, we see, in building big, big cities, metropolis. So much food has to be transported, petrol has to be transported within like city like Bombay, which is just a very small link to the interior. And basically, if it, that is not there, the entire infrastructure will collapse. On the other hand, we see life in villages, so peaceful. And even we read in Mahaprabhu's pastimes that devotees would from Bengal would come all the way to Jagannath Puri, 3-4 months peacefully. They would grow crops, reap them, and during Chaturmas or other time, they would come and stay in Jagannath Puri. So here Prabhupada is presenting to us a dichotomy, like on one side we have devotees, other side we have karmis. And totally their approach to life is very different. Karmis think that by my endeavor, siddhoham balwan sukhi, like they say, like by my endeavor, my power, I'll achieve everything. But we find that things are very different. Like man invented car, and to have car he had to invent, make roads. And now he's finding that to build and maintain roads itself is so difficult. He has made cars, but that lead to pollution. So anything which has led to his sense gratification has ultimately become very frustrating. Even like one boy was telling me that even for sense gratification there is stress. Like people have weekend to enjoy, but they are like stressful how to enjoy. Whether to go to movies, go to clubs, go to some other place. And in a city like Bombay, there is always overcrowding. You go to a movie and you find there is house full, and then you have to buy tickets in black. Like some very famous movie was there, and to buy advance ticket, book advance booking, there was a big queue. So even for sense gratification, there is a lot of stress. So, and recently I was with Jagannath Prabhu. We had gone to some company for getting permissions. And that person, he invited us, okay, please come. And then he said, would you like some tea? We said, no. But he called some tea, and it came in such small paper cups. So Prabhuji was telling, you know, the level of sense gratification has reduced. Like previously, at least they would give some big cup of tea, and now they're giving small paper cup. You can notice in trains also, long distance trains. So even in Bible it is written that any common person he can see that things are not always to the favorable person. The Bible it is written that the race is not to the swift. That means even if somebody may be very fast, maybe the fastest runner, but still he may not win the race. Or the battle to the strong. It's not necessary that some strong party will be there and they will win the battle. Nor does food comes to the wise. So it's not that somebody has to be greatly learned, only then he can earn his bread and butter. Somebody may be very learned. Like I know one doctor, he's a gold medalist. But he's so brilliant that in his practice he's totally flopped. Because any patient comes, they think of all unusual diseases and is not able to treat even simple cases. And somebody may be very mediocre. Somebody may be very mediocre doctor, but may be able to practice very nicely because he's very good in talking, dealing. I said like, simple things are more common. It's one of the aphorisms in medical, this thing. And then he says, nor does wealth come to brilliant. So we find many talented people in all around, but they may be very like hand to mouth, not able to earn any money. And somebody may not be so talented, but may have some more grit and determination and may achieve higher success. And then he says, nor favor to the learned, but chance and time happens to all. So here the Bible gives description that why all these people, they do not get success. They are saying simply chance and time. But Gita actually goes much further and tells actually what are the things which influence the result of our action. So 18th chapter, Krishna describes, Adhishtanam tatha karta karnam cha prithak vidham vividhas cha prithak cheshta devam cha vatra panchamam. There are five factors which influence the result of an action, the outcome. First is place, adhishtanam, karta is doer, karnam are different instruments we use, cheshta is the endeavor, and fifth is devam. Devam is like God. So simple example, like Gaurang Prabhu, he gave this, that was one of the first verses I heard when I came to Krishna consciousness. So Gaurang Prabhu described in terms of like an operation being done. So it depends, the outcome of an operation is a patient is cured and he's alive. Both are needed. And how it depends on the place, what kind of operation theater it is. It is sterilized, well-equipped, nice, clean. Then karta, the doer. Who is the surgeon? Whether good surgeon or somebody mediocre. Karanam, the instruments. What kind of sterile, good instruments he is using. Cheshta, whether it's the first operation in the day or the, like third after 48 hours of non-stop emergency. And fifth is devam. So when we see like many times devam is God, like all the four factors may be present, but somehow when Krishna factor is against us, things will be very bad. So I remember I know of one person, he was a drunkard. He was traveling somewhere in this hanging garden area. He fell down and hit his chest and on his head and was unconscious for I think 1.5 days. And then he got up and he felt there is some pain, walked all the way, came to Nair Hospital, and there he got admitted and they found that there was a major bleed in the liver and it was like big emergency. So my teacher was there, she said like drunkards they have special God, so they never die. So I was wondering how, what is the case. And later on we found that he had hepatitis B and he had HIV also. And it was so surprising, and within 3 days he had 2 major operations. His abdomen was opened up, liver was like taken care of. And still this guy walked away very peacefully. And on the other end we find like patients who are like apparently doing okay and suddenly they collapse and they are like finished in like moments. So lot of things we see in our life, they are being controlled by God. So we cannot say that things are in our hand. So at the same time we should know that this universe, material world which has been created for us is not in a perfect design, that how much we put in our effort we'll get the equal and result. Why so? Because God has created some special personality here who is supposed to reform us. Like His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj in Gajendra's pastime mentioned, he said Maya, that is a personality which is like a teacher. Like we have, Krishna is our father and we are rebellious children. And just like father, when the children are creating disturbance, he sends them to a separate room. Similarly, we have been sent to material world, which is a separate room. And at the same time, there is a tutor which takes care that the children behave nicely. And sometimes they need spanking. So Maya Devi is here. So Maya Devi, she has her crocodiles. And they always keep on biting us. The moment we take birth, we are in the jaws of crocodile. So we may think that we may endeavor by our own efforts And we may have hopes that we'll get rid of this crocodile. But Maharaj said, unless we take shelter of Krishna, this crocodile won't go away. So, at the same time, Krishna also gives us hope. He says in Gita, in the 10th chapter, Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasam Sharanam Surita Prabhava Pralehasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. He says he is Gati and Bharta. He is the goal and he is the sustainer. So this is a very hope-giving verse for us. That although our goal is go back to God and go back to Krishna, but at the same time we may feel that our endeavors are very weak and we do not have strength and there are so many oppositions. But at the same time Krishna is saying he is the sustainer. He'll give us the strength by which we can overcome all the difficulties and come back to him. So if we take shelter of Krishna, like Prabhupada is saying, that he'll interfere in our life and help us by taking care of all the difficulties. And here Prabhupada is giving his own example. He's saying that ISKCON spread just in 7-8 years from 40 rupees to 40 crore worth of property. So we also have an example of like in Mahaprabhu's Leela, Srivas Thakur. So Mahaprabhu asked him that all the day you are busy chanting Hare Krishna. So how do you maintain your family? So he said, I simply clap. He said, what is this clapping business? He said, I clap and I desire. And immediately the thing appears. And that is Krishna's intervention in his life. And also we see so many devotees, they are around us, especially in household. So most of the time they spend in Krishna conscious activities and give very little time to their business and still everything is taken care of. Like past few days I was in DT kitchen and we had Vijay Madhaprabhu and I was wondering how he works actually. Whole day is busy cooking with us and he would be frying pakoda and holding phone in one and okay, idhar pahuncha do, udhar kar do, and 2 minutes he'll speak and work will be done. And this is very inspiring because we see how devotees give preference to Krishna consciousness and service to the Lord, and rest of the things Krishna takes care. And like also last year we went to one place in bus party and the devotee there for one full month he was with us, congregation devotee, and he was taking care of all our like advance party booking, did talking to the various companies, taking our appointments. And I asked him like, whole 1 month you are with us and how will you maintain? So he said, I'm in export business. I send 2-3 tankers and that take care of my whole year. So don't worry, 1 full month I'm with you. So because of him, we did something like 10,000 sets in 1 month, which is like big number. And each set had around 5 to 7 books, including Bhagavad Gita and Krishna book. So this is like one of the biggest score ever bus party has done. And that all credit goes to that Prabhuji. So here we see that devotees who have actually taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna personally takes care of them. And also we have the Disappearance Day of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So we'll discuss some pastimes from his life. So not very much is known about his earlier life. Basically, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj is the Diksha Guru of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. And he was actually born in a village, in a Vaishya family, in a village of Bhagjan in Bengal. And earlier he was like an agriculturist, but after the death of his wife, he moved into Vrindavan, where he was initiated by a disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. In Vrindavan, he would do Madhukari and stayed for 30 years and lived a very exemplary life. He was so humble and his life was emblem of humility and poverty. He would even offer obeisances to the trees, flowers, creepers, the mud of Vrindavan. And then he moved to Navdeep. So Navdeep, he would just accept discarded clothes and beg some rice, soak it in Ganges water and just add some salt and chilies and eat that. So daily he would come to hear from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he would be discussing Bhagavatam and he would have personal discussions with him. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he should take initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. But Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was had a very private life. He didn't want to initiate anyone. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very persistent. And one day he said that if you don't give me initiation, I'll commit suicide. And finally, Babaji agreed. And in 1908, he lost his eyesight and could not see externally. But he utilized this opportunity to go deeper into his internal bhajan. And one day Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, why don't you please come to me to Calcutta, I'll take care of you, we'll show some good doctor. But Babaji immediately shouted, he said, no, I'll not go back to material world again. He didn't want to leave that dham. And one night at 2 o'clock, he suddenly appeared at Yogpeet. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very surprised. He said, how you can come, you cannot see, you crossed Ganges and you crossed all the dark fields and you reached Yogpeet. And Babaji said, somebody brought me. He said, who brought you? And he said, somebody brought me. And then finally he realized that Krishna must have intervened. Otherwise not possible for him to come over here. So one time a rich man called Manichandra Nandi, he was Maharaja of Kasmi Bazar. So he invited Babaji that please come to my palace and give me some satsang. So Babaji didn't want any temptations or material temptations. So he told the Maharaja that if I come, I may become attracted to your wealth. There may be some envy. So better you renounce everything and you come and live with me in this kutia. And he was very selective about eating. So once his associate, he went to a prasadam distribution in some festival. And Babaji didn't speak to him for 3 days. And later after 4th day he said you went to that place, but that prasadam was sponsored by somebody of not a pure character. So it is not good. So once he said to his follower that we'll observe Sanatan Goswami disappearance day festival. So the disciple said, okay, we'll do that, but where will we get ingredients to make feast? So very important to have feast on festival. So Babaji said, we'll fast and we'll chant whole day. This is our way to observe festival. This is the right way for Vairagis. So Babaji never accepted any deceitful practice and would not hear anything which was not related to the scriptures. And thus he had a very holy atmosphere around him. Externally, he did not look like a typical sadhu, but he was so advanced that he was always absorbed in his bhajan and he was always considered into stage of paramhans, who would not care for external formalities. So he left on 17 November 1915, on this day Uthan Ekadashi, and on the same year, I think 22nd June 1914, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had disappeared. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took care of his samadhi rites. A lot of people, they wanted to be instrumental in making his samadhis, but their reasons were more of attracting crowds to that place rather than any devotional sentiments. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he, by his power and purity, he could take care of proper samadhi rites. And later when Ganges came to that same area, that samadhi was moved to the present area. So on this holy day we can pray to Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji for his mercy and his dedication to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Mahaprabhu. And also we can pray that we can acquire his mood of humility and surrender. So it is also the beginning of Bhisham Panchak, which is last 5 days of Kartik. And devotees, they offer different ingredients to the devotees, to the deities on these days, like flour, scent and other kinds of paraphernalia. And also those who want, they can observe fasting from grains and rice also. So now we'll read text 46, which is also having very elaborate purport.
तस्ते स्वचा भूते रूपै काले काले स्वयं विभो कर्म दुर्विषहम यन्नो भगवास्तम ततम करोति हि.
ओ लॉर्ड, ओ सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, बाय योर स्वीट विल यू अपीयर इन वेरियस इनकार्नेशंस मिलेनियम आफ्टर मिलेनियम एंड एक्ट वंडरफुली परफॉर्मिंग अनकॉमन एक्टिविटीज दैट वुड बी इम्पॉसिबल फॉर अस.
पर्पट,
The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham.
Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice or descendant of Bharat and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Thus it is not imagination but a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by His sweet will, appears in different incarnations such as Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsimha, Vaman, Parshuram, Ramchandra, Balram, Buddha and many other forms. Devotees are always eager to see one of Lord's innumerable forms. It is said that just as no one can count how many waves there are in the sea, no one can count the forms of the Lord. This does not mean, however, that anyone can claim to be a form of the Lord and be acceptable as an incarnation. The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be accepted in terms of the descriptions found in the Shastras. Lord Brahma is eager to see incarnation of the Lord, or the original source of all incarnations is not eager to see an imposter. The incarnation's activities are proof of his identity. All the incarnations described in the Shastras act wonderfully. Keshava Dhrita Meena Sharira Jai Jagadishare. It is only by the personal sweet will of Supreme Personality of Godhead that he appears and disappears, and only fortunate devotees can expect to see him face to face. This concept of incarnations is very unique to the Vedic tradition. We find that in other traditions, either when Prabhupada went to foreign countries, he would often be challenged by Christian priests and others, Jesus is the only way. So Prabhupada would say, how come God is infinite, so why he would have only one son? Why he can't have more sons? They would say, how can God come into this material world? So Prabhupada would say, can you stop God from coming to material world? He's so strong, it is his creation. Just like king can go to a prison, God can also come to material world and he'll purify it before coming. So many people, they are bewildered by this concept of incarnation. And some people, they are so sentimental that they think that everyone else is incarnation. Like, we went to one place for book distribution and person greeted us, Aye, aye, Bhagwan, aye, padhari. So sometimes it's so funny that people just take this thing so cheaply. So Prabhupada mentions that there are certain signs how to identify an incarnation. So the signs are typically it's a fingerprints of God basically. Different signs are present on the palms and the soles of incarnations. They are not present on ordinary souls. Like we may have some shank and chakran, but so many other things are present, like Ankush, Padma, so other things are present on the hands of Lord. Also their activities are supernatural. Like Krishna came, he lifted Govardhan, Lord Ram built a bridge. And we find so-called incarnations that can simply produce some handful of ashes or something, little gold ring or all. But nothing great. So ordinary men, they become very impressed by small miracles. I remember sometime back, my father took me to one person. And he was a simple dealer, some businessman. But he was follower of some person. And before that person left, he gave him some siddhi. And he would actually touch people and heal them. So I didn't know, I just went with my father. And basically my father wanted to show that there is something better than ISKCON. So this guy, he didn't do any miracles. He was simply like a shopkeeper and he was dealing things. Person not coming, he was giving out. And he said, can your guru cure people? I said, for curing, we have Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Why he needs to cure people? So he said, no, I can cure. So then I could understand something is like that. So I said, but can you cure death? Everyone has to die. You may cure for some time. So he said, no, that I can't do. But our guru and our parampara can actually take us beyond this cycle of birth and death. So likewise, we also find that there are certain
mystic healers in certain traditions where they say that we touch and we pray and we actually heal you. But even if we may find that certain improvement may be there, clinically or non-clinically, whatever, but still that person comes back to his original disease state. It's not permanent. There may be some, most of these powers are not pure powers. They're all part of black magic. Even if somebody may be following certain kind of religious path, it's only because of black magical powers that they can bring out certain apparent transformation or apparent cure. So one should not be very bewildered by all those things. These are small, teeny-weeny things. Especially when you read Journey Home or like books of yogis, you find that these powers are very much present in followers of Vedic traditions, but they don't like to show them. And anyone has any confusion, you can see the recovery of Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. Nobody can do something better than that. And also, incarnations, the purpose is, Krishna here describes that they take care of irreligion, but most importantly that is to attract the heart of conditioned souls. Because the pastimes of Krishna and his incarnation, they are so attractive that people chant, people glorify, and all those activities are transformed into local regional languages, sung into poems, sung into songs, and devotees sing them. Like you see in India, we start from Kashmir and you have temples dedicated to Krishna, temples dedicated to Lord Ram, and you go down south to Kanyakumari and other places, everywhere. And there are places where Vedic culture was prevalent before, like you go to Angkor Wat, huge temples are built and people are worshipping Krishna. So that is a special power of Vedic tradition, that this concept of incarnation is present, that Krishna personally comes over here and attracts people. Like there is a small joke that somebody went to Vatican and he saw a golden telephone and he said that, what is this? He said, this is a phone by which you can directly talk to God. So he said, how much does it cost? He said, $1,000. So then he traveled to other places and only one, two places he could see that phone in some church or mosque. Finally he came to Vrindavan and he saw one simple ordinary phone. He said, what is this? He said, by this you can make phone call to God. So he said, how much does it cost? He said, 1 rupee. He said, why? He said, it's a local call. So that is the thing. We may search for God in different places, but actually there is no better way than to find Him in our own heart. And by that we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas. And by their mercy, like Prabhupada said, only fortunate souls can see Krishna face to face. And Prabhupada says, if we become serious at the end of this life, we can see actually Krishna face to face. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Jai Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai.